4:45 downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Hammond Street. 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us in studio this afternoon. Hello.
Hi. How's everybody doing? I know how everybody's doing. We're all giggling like fools.
Fools.
Because I just found out a very, very disheartening piece of information about my favorite Christmas movie, which is not Die Hard. But I love Die Hard, yeah. and I'm totally on board with it. Anybody who denies that that's a Christmas movie isn't looking hard enough.
Well, now I have to tell the story briefly that we're looking for. We always like to get people tied into iconic Christmas movies, TV shows. We've had Sally Dreyer, who played Lucy in A Charlie Brown Christmas. We had Carolyn Grimes, who played Zuzu in It's a Wonderful Life. And we've reached out to some people like Peter Billingsley from A Christmas Story. But when I was researching last night, I found out that Scotty Schwartz, who played Flick, had a career in porn.
So good.
In the 90s.
I mean, I'm afraid of what will happen to my computer, but I almost kind of want to look, and I don't, because, oh, man. But that's fun. I love A Christmas Story. I also saw something the other day where some guy, and I assume this is some statement piece, and if it is, this is not why I'm bringing it up. I don't care either way, but some guy made a male version of the leg lamp, and that was just very strange.
Scotty Schwartz appeared in Scotty's X-Rated Adventure.
Yeah.
Skinwalker.
Yeah.
I can't even say that one.
And I'm sure because unfortunately I know things like this and for no particular reason, I'm not as depraved as I make this sound, but like that there's also like porn equivalents for every major motion picture. So I'm sure there is a Christmas
like
story.
Forrest Hump.
Yeah, there you go. Here's the other thing. And oh, I didn't have the heart to, oh jeez. All right. I'll get to this in a second. Yes.
Yeah. He did the film Booby Trap where he played Agent Big Knob.
Oh, there you are. Boy, who was the screenwriter for that? Was it?
It was Orson Welles.
Yeah, exactly. It was
he was in Flashpoint X, Silver Screen Confidential, and Dirty Bob's Excellent Adventure.
Oh gosh!
And I think we all enjoy this one at the holiday season. The Wrong Snatch.
Oh my gosh. We're going to talk about wine in a moment. I'm going to save this segment. I'm going to do it. We're coming back. We're coming back with South Africa.
Please, save us.
South Africa. Then there's no... This
Mandela!
Is,
Mandela!
There you go. Apartheid. There. Killed the mood.
Boom.
Ha!
Like that.
I'm good at killing the mood, unfortunately. Just ask my wife.
Woo!
We're bringing this back. South Africa. This is actually really cool. So here, fun fact. We're delving deep. South Africa is the world's oldest geologic wine region. Kind of cool. Think about it. Of all the wine regions and all the places that we've talked about on this show, South Africa's is the oldest. And it's really, really interesting because it takes place in just a little corner of this gigantic continent, in a place where you wouldn't necessarily think that a great wine can be grown. And we'll talk a little bit about it, but just I just found that really kind of fascinating. Back before let me put it this way: back when I knew everything, age 18 sort of thing. I had a phenomenal geology professor who would later go on to become the Carnegie Mellon Professor of the Year for that year. And I took some geology courses, and I came home and I told my father, I am going to be a geology minor, because of course I was going to be a music major no matter what, because I was determined to be unemployed. And he laughed at me, and I should have stuck with the geology, because boy, my friends who stuck with geology, they are employed by oil companies and they're doing very well. So well done there. But geology really, really, fascinating to me. So I thought that was kind of cool. And the other thing about it in terms of age is that it's a really, really old wine region, right? Like we don't think about South Africa as an old wine region because it didn't pop onto the international scene until that thing called apartheid went away. And that was really important. We'll talk about that. So when did it start? What's the deal? So as I said, very old wine region. The first important vineyard in South Africa, the Groot Constantia Vineyard, was planted in 1659. Okay, so we're talking about a long, long history, hundreds of years now that they've been working with the vines. And primarily Dutch and English settlers originally, because, of course, the Cape there, where Cape Town is located and going around there, was the major trade route. So these Europeans came down, established a trading post, and said, man, I really want wine. And so they started planting. And so what you find in this part of the world is indeed, you know, these international varietals, as we call them, but primarily, you know, cool European varietals, Shiraz, the grape we're going to drink today, Chenin Blanc, and Cabernet Sauvignon, really, really interesting things. And of course, also in South Africa, of a more modern iteration, you find the grape Pinotage, which is a hybrid varietal created in a lab of the grape Pinot Noir and the grape Sanso, which tastes like neither particularly, and is a kind of an interesting grape, but sometimes smells kind of off-putting and like burnt rubber. Not so with the wine we're going to be drinking today. The wine industry for a while was just kind of loosely organized and scattered and nothing really important, but still, you know, vital to the area because, of course, they still wanted to drink. But what happened was in 1918, the government established, and this is the most impossible tongue-twisting Dutch Afrikaans thing ever, so bear with me while I stumble through this. It's known as the KWV, for anybody who doesn't want to, you know, hear my mangling, but the Coöperatief Wijnbouwers Vereniging van Zuid-Afrika, which basically means the South African Wine Growers Cooperative.
That was pretty good, actually.
It was pretty good. I kind of messed up the cooperative one, but it's okay. We're working on it. And it was created in 1918, as I said, through the funding of the government, as a force to stabilize and grow the South African wine trade. They were seeing what was happening in other parts of the world, and they wanted to capitalize on it. And also, of course, what was happening in other parts of the world in 1918 was that Europe was torn apart by war. So it was a good time to kind of get into that business if you could. But over time, the KWV was given more and more control, not over, you know, just, hey, we think you should grow this here, you should grow this, but also over legislation, also over who could sell what and how. And it became extraordinarily oppressive. And the other thing that happened was, as a lot of things happened, it became a man's club. So there were actually, towards the end of this time, and they're still active now, there was a number of women wine growers who wanted to sort of break into this business and were basically shut out of it simply because of their sex. And so that is another thing that these days you will see is very, very different. There's some very, very important women wine growers in South Africa as well. But that was not the case back then. And of course, so 1990-91, the ruling National Party went out of power. And the KWV essentially lost all of its governmental rights. Since 1997, it's still around, by the way. You can buy wine that says, you know, is KWV wine. You can also buy spirits that are KWV spirits. Since 1997, it's been run as a corporation, and it's still very big, but it doesn't have the stifling control over the wine industry there, which is good. And as I was hinting, not only, of course, now women are a vigorous part of it, but also you know, new generations of wine growers taking advantage of very, very interesting old vine vineyards, very, very ideal conditions, and also these kind of cool, you know, European grapes that just have been there. Now they're playing with them and making some really interesting wines. As I said, it's the oldest geology in the wine growing world. You got granite, sandstone, shale, and they're naturally straining the vines, which give, you know, the wine's depth and character. Tremendous biodiversity. This is all happening on something called it's right on the lower coast line of the South Africa. It's called the Lovelt, and over towards the east, you know, kind of facing towards the Indian Ocean and Australia. It's very fertile and used for which is not good for vines, of course, necessarily. They want strain. So you see a lot of agriculture happening over there, but where the vines are grown near Cape Town, it's actually very, very cool. And why? Because there's this current coming up from Antarctica called the Benguela Current, and it's responsible for these very cooler than presumed temperatures, which, of course, a lot of grapes like because it extends the ripening season. So it's wine that is very accessible, I think, to Americans because it's not made in any particular old world style, even though it's a very old wine country. So the wine we're going to be drinking today is a Chenin Blanc. I love the acidity that this is showing right now. It's absolutely fantastic. This is from Badenhorst Family Wines, and this is absolutely my favorite quote. They're cousins that formed this. This is a quote. The property is owned by the dynamic and good-looking cousins, Hein and Adi Badenhorst. I don't know if they self-proclaim themselves good-looking or if somebody else wrote that, but I think it's fantastic. Always make yourself look better than you might be. The grandfather was a farm master at the Groot Constantia Vineyards, which is a very, very well-respected and indeed old 1649 farm. And so he taught these guys how to make wine. Hein first vinified his first batch at age 13. And so these cousins, they restored old property. It's 28 hectares of old bush vines located in the Swartland north of Cape Town. And a lot of growth in this area since the end of apartheid by these young dynamic winemakers. Absolutely gorgeous. I did want to mention, I know we're running out of time, we do have two tastings this month. The 14th is our Women in Wine event, and it is going to feature our friend Janine from Latitude Wines showing a lot of really, really cool holiday, good, holiday appropriate wines. Also, we're going to have massive shopping opportunities, Lou LaRoe, Heavenly Goddess Spa products, other things. I can't even remember. And then December 21st, our annual Ugly Holiday Sweater Tasting. Both of those are from 5 to 7, the 14th, the 21st. I do hope to see you at both, all, or just stop in the shop for a private consultation, and we'll set you up for these holidays.
Eric May and Bangor Cheers. Wine and Cheese Company. These good-looking guys make a fine wine.
They do. That's what they do.
Who's Betsy? Is that your mom?
Well, yes.
She liked your picture on our Facebook page.
Oh, God. I was like, is she calling in? Oh, my gosh.
Thanks, Eric.
Cheers.